Well, good morning, everyone. Our scripture reading for this morning is from Romans 16, 1 through 2. As we come to the last part of the chapter of the letter of Romans, the very first person we meet in this list of believers is named Phoebe. She provides for us a good look at the ministry of women in the early church, both in scope and in depth. She is the first of nine women who are mentioned in this chapter. All of them will provide insight into the ministry of women in the local church. Furthermore, since it is Christmas time, each message this month will provide us with a glimpse of what it means to truly be a Christmas Christian. Please follow along with me as I read Romans 16, 1 through 2 from the New American Standard Bible. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and that you help her in whatever matter she may have need of you. For she herself has also been a helper of many, and of myself as well.
Hopefully, as you've been looking at Romans chapter 16, you started to count the number of individuals there that the Apostle Paul knew in the church at Rome. And if you count the individual names, you came up with at least 25. And in addition to, you know, those of the household of Aristobulus and Narcissus, and even though they're meeting in that house, the Apostle Paul may not have known them personally. But of that list, as you just heard, there are at least nine women mentioned. At least nine. Because when we get near the end of next week's message in that section from verses 3 to 16, it says, and the saints. So there were other women as well. Now, women have had a tremendous impact on my life. Let me start with my mother, okay? Even before I was a Christian, I don't think she was a Christian, she taught me spiritual things like how to pray. I spilled something on the carpet, and she said, you better pray that comes out of the carpet. She taught me the meaning of a job well done. She said, if you and your brothers want to kill yourself, do it outside, because I just finished cleaning this house. And she taught me things like logic, because I said so. And she taught me more logic. If you fall out of that tree and break your neck, you're not going to the store with me. And she taught me justice. Someday, you're going to have children, and you'll know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I remember my mom, yeah. But you know, I don't know when my mom was saved. I know one time she said she was saved at 18 or 19. Maybe. I know that after she came to the United States from Yugoslavia with her family, she didn't know any English. She eventually learned to read and write, and I asked her one time something about reading, and she said, well, you know, I've only have the equivalent of a third grade education. But I do remember that when we were at Bill Kalberg's house on Park Street, and the Bible study that is now you, the Orville Grace Brethren Church, that she came faithfully. And sometime in there, if she was saved before, she really made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And brethren, that's what Christmas is all about, a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a Christmas Christian, then you shouldn't be one that just comes on Christmas. You should be one who serves Christ all your life. And, you know, she didn't have a lot of skills, but she would think, some of you remember her, think she made meals? Made meals for other people and encouraged other people and tried to witness to other people. And she was a good servant of the church. Well, that's what Phoebe was too. Phoebe was a good servant of the church, and hopefully Jeremiah has his Bible open. Ben David, too. You're kind of like me. Lay it there. I get tired of holding it. But And we're going to look at Romans chapter 16 and verses 1 and 2 this morning about Phoebe. But have you thought about the ministry of women as the New Testament lays it out for us? I mean, it was a woman who first prompted Jesus to do the first miracle, right? His own mother. Women ministered to Christ all during his ministry. You can find that in Luke chapter 8 and the first three verses. Women anointed the body of Jesus. Who was it that stayed with Jesus entirely through the trial and crucifixion? Women. And women were the first witnesses to the resurrected Savior. It's interesting to me, too, that women make up the majority of the population of most churches around the world, not just in the United States. And so as we come to Romans chapter 16 and verses 1 and 2 about Phoebe, I think it's a most fitting passage to begin our celebration of Christmas with, because as you can see from verse 1, Phoebe, who is a servant of the church. She was a servant of the church. She was just like the Lord Jesus. Jesus said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." And you're probably familiar with Philippians chapter 2. Verse 7 says, "Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God," he was equal to God, "a thing to be grasped, to be held onto, but emptied himself." That is, he gave up the independent use of all his divine attributes in order to come and live here on the earth just like you and I, and to die as we would. Taking the form of a what? Servant. Being made in the likeness of men. He took the form of a servant. He died for us. Rose again after 3 days. Now Phoebe, I think, risked her life for the church too. And so she's a fitting example of a real Christmas Christian. And so during this month, as we finish the letter to the Romans and consider together these first two verses, first of all four of these messages, I think we could call Christmas Christians. What do true Christmas Christians think about? How do they live? What are the kind of things that they do? And I think this chapter is going to provide that for us as we go through chapter 16 of the letter to the Romans. And so first of all, here in verses 1 and 2, we're going to focus our attention on two very important characteristics of Phoebe in these first two verses. And the first one is this. She was a commendable Christian. "I commend to you our sister Phoebe." Verse 1, chapter 16. And of all the people who are listed here in Romans chapter 16, she is listed first. Did you ask yourself, now why is she listed first? Well, I would think it's because she had a special connection with this letter that's going to the Romans. And it's commonly assumed that she's the one who delivered the letter. She took the letter with her. I think one commentator said that in the folds of her garment, Phoebe carried all of systematic theology, the entire foundation of Christian theology. I don't know if she thought about it that way, but that's quite a responsibility. And I'm fascinated when I find out that if you lived in Rome, you either had to be a Roman official or a friend of a Roman official in order to use the imperial postal system. Now, we also have learned, and historians tell us, that private letters were usually carried either by merchants and or their servants. And I think that's interesting too, because if she didn't use the imperial postal system, then she was probably, in light of what's implied in these two verses, a merchant. She had business in Rome, and she probably was fairly wealthy. She helped many, we're told. And so she could have taken her servants with her to make this trek. But maybe she used the imperial postal system. I mean, Pliny the Younger, he writes to Trajan, and he says, oh, by the way, your honor, you know, the emperor, I didn't have time to ask you if I could use the imperial postal system or not, but my wife had something she had to do right away, and so we went ahead and used it, and I hope that you'll excuse that and let us go ahead, after he had done it. But maybe Phoebe knew somebody. Now, this is a map of the roads of Rome. 47,000 miles of Roman road. I mean, the Roman roads have become famous, right? And their postal system, all along these roads, had a postal station about every 50 miles. And postal mail was typically pulled by an ox cart. That was the slow way of moving the mail. They had a faster way. Ever hear of the Pony Express? It was kind of like that, and it would go 170 miles a day. In fact, this is a replica of the kind of wagon or cart that these oxen would pull to go along those roads to deliver the mail. And the roads that are still there, some of them still look like this. If you would go to Rome, you could see them. But by listing Phoebe first, the Apostle Paul not only introduced her, but he recommends her to the Roman believers. Now, why do you think he would recommend her or commend her? Was it because she could do backflips simultaneously, you know, one after another in the Roman Colosseum? Nobody said amen, so I'm assuming you didn't think that was the reason. No, it's because, first of all, he says to us about her in verse 1, our sister. This is the only woman in the entire New Testament that the Apostle Paul calls our sister. All the other translations, if you have a translation in other places that says our sister, and Paul is the author of the letter, the Greek word is the, and the translators translated it our. They take some liberty. But this is the only place where it really says our sister. He obviously had a very special relationship with Phoebe, a very endearing relationship. And so the phrases which follow after this give us the reasons for his commendation and this commendation of the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul. And the first one I want you to see is this in verse 1. She was a servant of the church. That's what it says, right? Who is a servant of the church? Now, what church was that? Are you following along in your Bible? Shake your head, yes? Okay, good. It was the church at Cenchrea, right? You might be saying, well, where was that? Well, it was 9 miles south of Corinth. And so probably it was a church that was begun by the Corinthians or those who came in contact there at the seaport in Corinth, and they went back home and they told others about the Lord Jesus Christ, and this church begins and is established there in Cenchrea. Now her name, Phoebe, means bright or radiant, and another name that was given to her during that, or that same name, Phoebe, could also be Artemis, you know, the moon goddess. And so I don't think that her background or her parents were Jewish. I don't think they would have named her something like that. But it says here that she was a servant of the church. Now, the Greek language construction indicates that this means that she was some kind of an official representative of the church. She was what we would say or call a deaconess. And I don't think that in the church at Cenchrea, do you think, when you read the scripture, do you think like this? Okay, she's a servant of the church. I wonder how they picked her to take this letter. So you're imagining they're all sitting there, and they go, well, the Apostle Paul has this letter. Tertius wrote it down. We'll see that later here in the chapter. And he wants it to go to Rome. Anybody can take the letter to Rome? And all the deacons are saying, well, I don't know. You know, I have to work tomorrow. I got to be there at 5. And you think Phoebe's sitting there going, oh, me, pick me. I'll take it. No, I don't think it was like that. But probably because she has business in Rome, because he says to them, that you may help her in whatever matter she have need of you. Well, why would she have need of them if she's a deaconess and she's actually one who's helped many? Well, because she has business at Rome and she's not familiar with Roman customs or laws or all the things that might be there that she needs help with, and so please help her. And she says, you know, I have business in Rome. I could take the letter. Oh, that sounds like a good plan, I would imagine they might say. Now, I said that she's probably a deaconess because the same word, servant, that's used here in verse 1 of Romans 16 is the same word that's used in Romans chapter 12 in verse 11 where it says serving the Lord. In fact, some translations translate it that way. They are a deacon or deaconess in the church. It's very similar to what 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 11 says when it says women likewise. Now, of course, some commentators, Bible scholars say, well, these are the wives of deacons. Well, that may well be. But what about widows? And what about Lydia? And what about other women who served in the church? Well, they at least have to qualify on this basis: dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. And obviously, she had to be a woman who was faithful in many, many things. But didn't you wonder when you were reading this? Yeah, but why would they send a woman on such a risky trip? I mean, wouldn't she face possible robbery or other things, especially if she's not using the imperial postal system? Well, I don't think she went alone because of this. She was a servant in the church. That's pretty clear in verse 1, isn't it? I commend you, our sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the church, an official representative, which is at Cenchrea, or which is in Cenchrea. And so she was a servant in the church. Now, what do you think she did there? Well, look at verse 2. It says at the end of verse 2, for she herself has also been a helper of many. Does your translation have another translation other than helper? I don't see anybody shaking their head, yes. Well, the word helper, the Greek word that's translated helper, means protector, guardian, or patroness. In other words, she has some kind of means by which she reaches out to others and helps them with her own material resources. It has the idea of standing before somebody to watch over them or standing between them and something else in order to give them protection or care. In fact, I think it's church tradition that tells us that she was, ready, Lizzie? A nurse. How about that? And Billy's going, all right, a nurse. That's the idea. That's the possibility here. And that may be why Paul was so close to her, because she ministered to him as a nurse. And it's very possible, if she's a woman of means, that the church in Cenchrea met in her house. How about that? So there to help her in whatever matter she may have need of you has the idea, as I've mentioned, that maybe she was on a business trip. She needed to know about Roman law. She needed to know, what city official do I need to contact? She's like Lydia in Acts chapter 16, who's a businesswoman, and she's got things to care for, and probably a widow because she couldn't make this trip or do these things if she were married and her husband were still alive. She was a servant in the church. All right. Now I'm going to go from preaching to meddling. Ready? Christmas with, you put your name there. Joy's going to take your picture. We're going to put your picture right there. I'm going to write a letter to, well, maybe the Peru Grace Brethren Church, okay? I commend to you Nick Sohar. Nick's going, uh-oh. He is a good servant of the Orville Grace Brethren Church, because he's a good servant in the Orville Grace Brethren Church. You see the point? Did you think that Romans chapter 16 and verses 1 and 2 were just put in the scriptures eternally so that we could say, wow, Phoebe was a great servant? Well, that's true. But all scripture is what? God-breathed and profitable. Profitable for what? For you and me. For instruction, for teaching. And so you have to think of yourself like this too. Would the elders commend you to another church? Or I've even had, you know, some of you in the past say, Pastor Ike, could you help me with a resume? I'm applying for a job at this place. And we've done that. So I commend to you this individual because they've been faithful. And just about every time I think about that, I think they got the job. We've had people contact us here. You can ask Joy. We want to hire people, and we can't think of a better place to go than the church. Because those people are faithful, conscientious. They have a good work ethic. I'm impressed when I hear that. But now let's be honest, okay? Be honest with yourself. Could you really put your name in there? Would we really put your picture there? I mean, what is it that you do in this church? What is it? Now, okay, put that back up there. I commend Bob Frederick. Some people are going like this. Do you know why? Because he was a good servant. In this church. My goodness. Bob locked the doors. Bob closed things up. Bob visited people. Bob hosted people. I said to Bob one time, I got to go see this person. It's a sin issue. Would you go with me? Sure, I'll go with you. Who is it? Let me pray about them. Oh my goodness. You know what? We have our men's advisory council meetings each month, and we say, okay, we still haven't filled all the things that Bob used to do. Right? I mean, it was just a multitude of things, and we're still trying. And so, by the way, after the service is over, let me just give you a pre-invitation, okay? Pre-invitation. You come forward, and you say, what did Bob used to do that still needs to be done? I'll do it. I mean, come on, it wasn't that hard. He locked up, he closed up, he hosted, you know, he did all these things. Bob, we need somebody to read scripture today. Okay. What do you think? Can we do that? I commend Bob Frederick. Christmas with Bob. Someday it's going to happen. Yeah. All right. Let's go back. Well, let's look at verse 2. By the way, Christmas is not about getting. Christmas is about giving. That was Bob. In Acts 20:35, the Apostle Paul says, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, in order to be a commendable Christian, you also have to be a cooperative Christian. That's the second characteristic about Phoebe that it just stands out. She was a cooperative Christian, a helper, right? And I really don't think, you know, when I'm preparing these messages, I'm reading the verses, my imagination just kind of goes wild, and I'm thinking about the church in Cenchrea, and I'm thinking, okay, now, what are the other possibilities as far as how she delivered this letter? Was it because all the deacons said, oh, you know, I'm too busy, I can't do it, got to be at work at 5, and Phoebe said, oh, okay, if no one else will take it, I will. I don't think that was the way it was at all. She was more than happy to do this because she was a cooperative Christian. I love cooperative Christians, don't you? Those kinds of Christians are truly Christmas Christians, servants. And that's why we can see this in verse 2, that she deserved recognition from the church. Isn't that what he says? Verse 2. That you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints. Now, what does that mean? A manner worthy of the saints. If a believer walks in our door and comes in, even if we don't know them, I mean, the Romans, Christians didn't know her. And they have a letter, and it says, hey, I'm from the Irisburg Grace Brethren Church. And Pastor Scott says, please receive me in a manner worthy of the saints. What are we going to do? Say, really? Could I see your driver's license just to check and make sure the names match? And, oh, we might, but in our day. But once we determine that, we'll say, brother, welcome. We're glad to have you here. We embrace him. We say, now, what can you do? Because we're going to put you to work. And, well, we'd do that maybe later. Think we'd ask him to join us for lunch? Okay, that's a good start. And, so where are you staying this week? Do you think Phoebe needed a place to stay? Well, I think so. I think later on, by the way, in verse 12, Tryphena and Tryphosa, they're probably twins, these women. Maybe they stayed with these twins. She did, I don't know. They probably had an extra room. You don't have to pull out the couch in those days. You just lay a blanket on the floor. That's almost what we do in India. It's pretty close. A place to stay. By the way, this same phrase, you receive her in a manner worthy of the saints, it's almost equivalent to what the phrase in 3 John 6 says, that when these evangelists come, you receive them in a manner worthy of God, is what it says. Same kind of idea. But she deserves recognition from the church because of what she's doing. And that's what he says, right? For she herself has also been a helper of many, and of myself as well. I'll be interested to find out what kind of reward Phoebe gets from the Lord on that day. Won't you? Makes me wonder what kind of reward I'll get. Doesn't it make you wonder what kind of reward you'll get? When you read those passages like in Matthew chapter 25 where Jesus says to the man with the 5 talents who doubled it, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. We saw this, by the way, in Romans chapter 13 verse 7. It says, honor to whom honor is due. They deserve recognition from the church. We did that with Brother George, remember? Recognized him for 24 years of faithful service. We did that for the Kalbergs. We did that for the Vodkas. I think God wants to do that for you. He wants to recognize you. So please utilize your spiritual gift or gifts and serve the Lord in this church, because that's what your reward is going to be based on to some degree. And the things that you do outside too. The people that you meet, whether you're at work, whether you're witnessing to them, praying for them, all of that the Lord Jesus is going to take into account, so that on that day when you stand before him, are you listening? You will stand before him. All of us will appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account. Brother Bob didn't know it was going to come so soon. You never know, do you? I hope you're ready, because you'll give an account. Now, Phoebe not only deserved recognition from the church, but it's because she was a sacrificial servant of the church. That's the idea here. For she herself also has been a helper of many, a protectress, a patroness, a guardian is what the word means. Of many. I wonder how many. 3? 300. I don't think it was 3. He would have said a few. As many. It's in the tens or 20s or more. Using her own personal resources, her investment of time and travel, and her commitment to the Lord and his people. Do you remember when the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 18 and verse 18 got his hair cut? That was at Cenchrea. I wonder if she cut it. Phoebe was a true Christmas Christian. She served the Lord and his people well, and her name is recorded here for eternity. I wonder what God has written down about you and me so far in our lives. And I wonder, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we will, what he's going to say. Okay, Gabriel, bring the book out. All right, Ike Graham, you only have a paragraph? Oof. I hope it's a lot longer than that. Already, 46 years, by the way, this is my birthday, my real birthday this month, 46 years ago, getting saved this month. So I hope there's a whole lot more written down than just a paragraph. And I wonder what he would say about, okay, yeah, read that one there. That's December 4, 2016. What did he do that day? December 5th, 2016. What did he do that day? Would you agree with me that Phoebe was a good servant of the church? I'm going to show you a video clip about a couple in Ukraine. Grigory and Maria Bossy. And I'm going to show this to you because it's a good example of what it means to be a servant like Phoebe. I think it provides a video illustration.
As Ukraine continues to feel the strain of both the economic crisis and political unrest, a group of brave Christians are bringing vital support to some of the neediest people in the country. One of those helping the poor is Grigory Bossy of the Christian charity Mercy Projects International. Every month, Bossy goes out in his larder and buys vital grocery supplies with funds sent by supporters in the West. He navigates his way through treacherous roads, even during the harsh winter months, to deliver these much-needed supplies to families throughout the Rivne region of northwest Ukraine. Bossy does all of this despite many of his own personal family challenges. He lives in a small five-room house with eight of his own children, many of them with health issues. But he works hard as a carpenter to scrape a meager living to feed them. Grigory's wife Maria says despite the hardships, God gives them grace to meet the challenges.
On the long road, you meet everything, both hardships and joys, and with a great love, we endure everything.
He says serving other families, even while his own faces difficulty, is his duty as a believer in Jesus.
I do this because it's God's will for me, and I just love to help people.
The impact on the families he helps is clearly evident. Mr. and Mrs. Schickel and their 11 children live in a house with only two rooms and a kitchen. Their father is out of work, and he says they would be lost without Bossy's regular visits, not just because of the food he brings, but also the spiritual support he provides. He says it's God's way of showing his love for them.
We feel we are united, that other people care about us. We feel that God cares about us when he sends people like this to us.
The Schickel family also knows that those who send sponsorship funds to help Bossy bring this support to them are motivated by God's love.
People in America who help us, they have love in their hearts. And Grigory carries this love from them to us.
So as Mercy Project's coordinators like Bossy continue to quietly carry on their ministry as the unsung heroes of Ukraine, these families recognize the impact they are having across the country in providing God's hope in very hopeless times. Peter Wooding for CBN News, Rivne, Ukraine.
Now that was kind of fast. I don't know if you were able to latch on to some of those phrases. Maria said, despite the hardships, God gives them grace to meet the challenges. That's true, isn't it? And Grigory said, you know, they asked him about why he does this. He said, well, serving others is my duty. I found it interesting he used that word. Is my duty as a believer in Jesus. And then he said, I do this because it is God's work for me, and I just love to help people. Is that true of you? You just love to help people? Do you love to help others? Now, the couple that Mr. and Mrs. Shekel that they showed on there that had the 11 children, you know, the father was out of a job. I hope you caught that. And he said it wasn't just the food that Grigory brings to us, but this really caught me, but also the spiritual support that he provides. Now, that's important, isn't it? You eat a meal and it's gone, but the spiritual support remains and continues. I wonder what your spiritual impact will be upon people this Christmas. I can't think of a better time of the year when people, in general, are more open to hearing the gospel and hearing about the Lord Jesus Christ than Christmas time. You say to somebody, Merry Christmas, and if they say, Bah humbug, you can say to them, oh, is there a problem? I mean, it's an open door. If they say to you, Merry Christmas back, you can say yes and have a Christ-filled one too. Well, I'm not a Christian. Well, you could be. Many opportunities because it's Christmas time. What will you do to impact people with the truth during this holiday? Now, I want to leave you with two things to remember, okay? Two things about this, about Phoebe. I want you to consider that our love for others only runs as deep as our service to them. Now, you might say, well, Pastor Ike, how did you come up with that? Well, I like what Jesus said. If you love me, John 14:15, you will keep my commandments. And one of his commandments is to love one another as he loved us. And one of his commandments is to make disciples of all nations. And so when we say that we love people, we can measure that by, well, what are we doing for them? That's one thing. Remember that. A second is this. Our service to others reflects the depth of our belief in the truth. And if we really believe what God says, then won't we do it? If we really believe it? Pastor Dell's going to come and lead us in our closing hymn. And our closing hymn could really be a prayer for us as we sing it together.